Everybody to the Woodway City Council meeting, October 16th. Thank you all so much for being here, all of our guests, council, and staff. Let's open up the meeting now at 5:30 p.m. First item on the agenda is our invocation. If you wouldn't mind, please bow your heads as we pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to serve this great city. We thank you, Lord, for the talents that you've given us. And we thank you, God, for guiding us through all the issues that we have to work through. Father, tonight we ask for your wisdom as we go through the agenda. We ask, Father, that your will would be done and that you would be glorified through our decision making. Jesus, we ask that, that you be with all of us tonight. Father, that you'd be with all of our residents, all members of our public safety department, and all of those who make our city so wonderful. Tonight, Lord, I also ask that you would be in the Middle East and that you would watch over all the conflict that's going there right now. I ask, Father, for peace and I ask for justice in Israel and in the Middle East, Father. God, we know that you are sovereign. You see all things and you know all things. So we trust you, Lord. And we ask, Father, that you would bring peace to the region soon. Thank you, God, for this time together. We ask for your blessing, and we ask for your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, item number two is our Pledge of Allegiance. If you would, please rise as we get pledged.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Moving into our public comment section now, item number three, the City Council invites citizens to address the Council on any matter, including items on the agenda, except public hearings that are included on the agenda. Comments related to public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R-87-11. The council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that is not listed on the agenda. When called to speak, please state your name and address, and if speaking on a specific agenda item, please state the item before beginning your comments. The timer is on the TV over here, and I'd now like to invite any citizen who'd like to address us. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. As you know, my name is Millie Woods, and as mentioned before, I've lived here for 3 decades now. And amen, thank you for that beautiful prayer. That was very nice. And no, I am not an engineer, but I have 3 on my speed dial over there. And now I would like to read an excerpt, something that should be as important today as it was in 1863. That this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. United States President Abraham Lincoln spoke these words in his Gettysburg Address 160 years ago. Historians say it is perhaps the greatest and the most well-known speech in world history. And the government in that speech means all governments, including the city of Woodway. And the government in that speech means all governments. Well, I see a major disconnect here, as do all these people behind me. Ours here is not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Certainly not for all the people. While the children of our community have been well served over the past many years, the elderly have been forgotten, completely ignored, and discriminated against. 6 playgrounds versus 0 senior citizen center is a very poor scorecard for the city of Woodway. I implore you to do as the Constitution and the oath you've taken requires. Treat every resident with equal respect. For once, consider the elderly, who make up more than half of the population of Woodway. Lincoln embraced the Declaration of Independence, recalling how the nation was conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Will treat us equal this time by making Woodway's government more equitable. Bring that scorecard from 6-0 to 6-1, and that can be done by keeping the old family center intact and by making it the new senior center. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else to address council at this time?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
From the lighter side, so I just wanted to explain this too, so you didn't steal my thunder, but I wanted to thank you. So I made this bet via text, so we all like our alma mater, so winners and losers, and so I felt like we needed to have some lightness here at some of the meetings. We've had a lot of tense moments and a lot of stress and all that, so I figured this would be on the lighter side. So anyhow, so we made this little bet, and I want to thank Amin for being a good sport and a man of his word, and I want to give him a little advice too. The next time Baylor wants to have a uniform day, tell them not to take uniforms that would make their players feel like bananas, because they're too embarrassed to play in those. I mean, I was in the third deck, and from a distance, it looked like a bunch of bananas, and they were embarrassed to wear those uniforms.
Wow, okay.
But seriously, school spirit, you know, think about school spirit. We all like our schools, high schools, colleges. I mean, some of the, you know, we got the guns up, we got the gig'em, the horns, and the lame sick of them thing, like which is a dog, not a bear.
Wow.
But the other thing that we should have is a spirit of Woodway. And it dawned on me, these people are all volunteers. We should be working together for the goodness and the betterment of Woodway. We shouldn't have infighting on this. So along that line, that was a little analogy that came out. So the stress situation will not go away, but I want to make it easier on you. Here's a little stress deal.
Thank you.
And here's a Texas Tech pin.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. All right, Mr. Hamlet, if you could just come up one more time and just say your name and address for the record, please. Thank you. I'm not going to let you off that easy.
Bruce Hamlin, Woodway, and 1507 Wandering Trail.
Perfect.
I have to get an agent.
Thank you, sir.
Hello there.
Yes, sir.
David Fulbright, 8272 Forest Ridge Drive, here in Woodway. I was here to speak about the senior center following up Millie, and I think it's a great idea. A little city called Normangy, over east of here, about 50 miles east of Marlin on Highway 7, has a grand population of 522 people. Not, where are we at, 9,800 or something like that? They have a senior center. They serve lunch every single day to any seniors that can get there. And it is packed every day. That's how big a deal it is. They go there, they eat lunch, then they hang out, play dominoes, play bridge, you know, have community. And like Millie says, we don't have that. So I'm on her side. I think, you know, it is a very important thing that a city should figure out how to afford. So there's a city with 522 people. They do it. You know, we ought to be able to do it. We have a structure. Pretty good structure in place. And I think what I would be for is having it be a senior center, and let a committee run that center. and decide what all else can happen. Yeah, maybe father-daughter dances. Father-son, who knows? Pinewood derbies. You know, what other kind of things could go on, but it would be like for the seniors to figure out what all goes on by the pulse of the community and then create those time slots to be able to have these different types of activities that, quite frankly, I don't think are going on, or they'd be well welcomed. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else to address council at this time? Yes, ma'am.
Judith Hardy, 125 Sterling Ridge, actually McGregor. I work in Woodway as the pastor of Central Prez, and I was at the council meeting a little bit ago and found out about this senior center that everyone's talking about. And I wanted to let you all know that we do have a senior center that is operating and possibly expanding. It's not a dedicated building, but a little more than a year ago, Meals on Wheels approached my organization and asked if we might be able to give up some of our space for senior activities. And so in September of 2022, we began first with one route and have expanded to two to deliver meals to people that need them, provided by Meals on Wheels. And the next week opened up a senior center. It's currently operating on Mondays from 9 in the morning until 12:30 or 1 in the afternoon. And we are soon to open on Thursdays. Seniors come. We have church volunteers provide treats and coffee and hot chocolate. We have conversation and fellowship. We have dominoes, cards, crafts. We hired a yoga teacher to come in and teach stretch chair yoga to help with balance. And while we're not run by a committee, we regularly survey our attendees, and we change our activities up and bring people in to do things as they wish. And we did try to reach out to the city to let people know what was going on, because we knew that there was a lack of a senior center, and I'm sorry that we didn't do well enough to let people know. If you have any questions, you can call Central Prez, you could call Meals on Wheels. Rachel Salazar is the one that's helping us to do this, and she has, I guess it's been about 3 weeks ago that they came to us and asked us to expand one more day, and so that's going to be on Thursdays. It's not official yet because my session has not approved it yet, but that meets tomorrow, so I covet your prayers for that. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Stephanie Berglund. My husband and I have been proud residents of Woodway for almost 10 years. Is my first city council meeting to go to. I am a Baylor Bear.
Sorry.
Don't hold that against me if you're not. But I come here with a heavy heart. I'm very, very, I have a very heavy heart. Excuse me if I cry. Over a year ago, I started seeing changes to our creeks. This is what they look like now. And my dog and I, we walk every day around the creeks. And it's just, it's really sad. I've taught school, I have a children's ministry. And I just think it's such a sad commentary on wildlife. We deserve better. We deserve better. And so I came up with, like all teachers, they have little, you know, show and tells and little letters. And so the C is for conservation and to clean the creeks. Okay? We've been promised for over a year that it was not, it was going to be done and finished. C is for conservation. Let's teach our children. Let's teach each other. Let's all work together, seniors, children, adults, work on our creeks. We can do that. What a wonderful opportunity for everybody on Earth Day or whatever day we want to do it. And then L is for land, because our houses and our land is devalued.
when people come in to see our community and to, you know, take a look at homes, and they see bulldozers and ugly pipes that are pumping waste from the subdivisions by the lake through our creeks, okay? The E is for eco-friendly. You know, we teach kids in school, you know, about how to be eco-conservative, but yet we have awful-looking creeks. A is for animals that used to be here. Beautiful owls. There's now a handful of them now behind our house. Where our house is the tree house and has Christmas lights up all day of the year. But the owls, the deer, the birds, they're all gone. They've left our creeks. And yet it's for nature. I think all of us, you know, they say, my mom taught kindergarten for 23 years. They say that, you know, everything I needed to learn, I learned in kindergarten. And in my mom's class, they had an actual kindergarten, and they planted.
Thank you, Ms. Baldwin. Thank you.
That'd be neat if they would do that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else to address council at this time, please? Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Holly Oxhandler. I live at 601 Wooded Crest. And I want to start tonight by thanking each of you for all of the work that you do. I recognize that this is volunteer. You are giving your time and effort to our community. And I thank you for the ways that you are considering and caring for our whole community. So I wanted to speak more specifically to agenda item 6 regarding the building and the conversation that y'all will be having about the project status. And I wanted to speak more, not only as a Woodway resident who has been here since 2015, but as a mom of two kiddos, one 11, my daughter Callie here, who is a little shy tonight, and we have a 7-year-old son, and the both of them have thrived with the Woodway Family Center, with all of the programs and offerings that have been provided for them in ways that have exposed them to so many different sports and opportunities and chances to connect with friends. And we have recognized the ways in which the new or that the old space has been really difficult for several reasons for the kiddos and community. And so I really just wanted to come up and support and say thank you for the new space. I am hopeful that the old space can be used in ways that continue to serve our community. I really care about that as well. I've done research with older adults and appreciate the ways that caring for our older adults has been part of the conversation. I want to voice not only gratitude for the work that y'all are doing and the ways that you're considering the families, and again, not only with the family center over there, but the beautiful arboretum space over there that my family has had picnics over there with and dinners, and we just love it. Play chess and checkers. So anyways, I wanted to express that gratitude and then also see if Callie wanted to say anything. She's been shy, but is there anything you would want to add?
I really like the arboretum.
What is it that you like about it?
It's fun.
Yeah? You like the little free library, too?
I get a book there every time if I can.
So, anyways, just take that for whatever it's worth, but thank y'all for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Folks, just a pause before we go on to the next speaker. We have a silver Toyota Sienna in the parking lot with their doors open. And so just, is that you? Sorry.
I think it's
him. I hope it's him. Unless he wants a Toyota Sienna. Then it, you know. All right. He was ready. Those are nice cars. All right. Anybody else to address council at this time, please? Yes, ma'am.
Hi,
Hi, my name is Whitney McHenry. I live at 1008 Cardinal Drive. And I just wanted to kind of voice what the other speaker said of just how grateful I am for all of y'all spending your time up here planning, projecting, thinking, leading. I know many times these types of things are thankless, and so I do want to say thank you all for what you do. And I want to say thank you for the beautiful new community center, the Arboretum, all the improvements to the parks. I understand that a lot of those are more younger family oriented, but at the same time, trails, the trails around Pogue Park, the trail around Whitehall Park, those are all wonderful spaces for anyone that is capable and able to walk, that they can go to and be a part of the community. And what I keep coming back to is community. Community is lots of different people, all ages and stages, and how can we care for one another? You know, how can we look at each other and say, how can I care for you? How can I be there for you as a community member? And I hope that with this new community center, and I would almost guaranteed that a lot of care and consideration has been made for all ages because it is a community center. And as we talk about what's going on over there right now, I just want to thank y'all for what I know y'all have done already in the planning stages of that. And that I hope that maybe we can all be a little bit open-minded about what that space is going to look like and make sure we're not too caught up in our little bubbles and we can look at other people and see their point of view and take that into consideration. So thank you all so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. There being nobody else to speak, we'll close the public comments at 5:52.
Well, one more.
Thank you.
I think one more. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hi, I'm Sandy Fulbright. I live on Forest Ridge Drive, and I'm happy to be a Woodway member or a resident, I should say. And I want to say thank y'all also for all your volunteer work here because I know it's a lot. And all I know is what I've seen, but I know there's a lot more that goes on behind, you know, the doors in your own homes and your own offices and things, and I know it takes a lot of work. So I appreciate y'all very much, and I do love everything also that y'all have done to make everything so beautiful for this wonderful community, and I do agree that I think we should form a committee to help figure out what to do with this Family Fun Center and make it just a full-blown senior center, but maybe even keep the stuff going on with the kids outside. I mean, is there a way we could make that all work, too? I'm just hoping we can, you know, serve everybody. But just give, like Millie said, just give them, citizens, I'm one of them, too, a place to go that's just for seniors also, that they have their own place to do things and, you know, visit each other and just have healthy relationships. Because I know it's very hard for some of them since they've lost a lot of their loved ones and friends and, you know, family. And so let's just see if we can make it work. And if we do have a committee, maybe then we can figure out what's the best ways to make this community even better than it is, you know, and just have peace about it and not no arguing or anything. Just make it work. I think with all of us working together, we can make it a great place without tearing that building down because it seems like a good spot to me. I mean, I've seen it. But anyway, thank y'all again so much for everything that y'all are doing for our community. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Peter James, 712 Wooded Crest Drive. My family came here 6 years ago because of Woodway being known for its very family-friendly environment, and we've really enjoyed the Arboretum. We went to the farmer's market there yesterday, and we're definitely going to be going there regularly. And so, yeah, we really like all of that. And at the same time, I recognize that 6-0 playgrounds to senior centers is an imbalance, and there's a good argument for the senior centers. But the only thing I would throw in is I'm a geology professor at Baylor, and I know a lot of the geology. The southern half of Woodway is very, very good foundations. The northern half toward the lake is very bad foundations. And without knowing a lot about the specifics of the old family center building, I would say just be careful and do your due diligence that you don't invest a lot of money in something that will have foundation issues or slope failure issues down the line.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Did you get your car?
I did.
Okay,
yes.
Good. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Lori Witzel. I live here in Woodway. I know y'all can't answer me back, but I'm just here to clarify. Last time I was here, I had the misconception that the new family center was only going to have one room. I believe you two both told me that is not correct. The seniors have access to all of it. After looking at the drawings of it, though, there's only one room in addition to basketball/pickleball courts. So if a senior is not playing pickleball or basketball, they are confined to only that room. There is nothing else there for them. So that is, if there were a way to incorporate much more activities and space, because even the room that's in the new center is not near the size of what's in the old center. So the old center, to me, makes more sense because you can incorporate different activities for all of them, not just pickleball and basketball, and then a small room that's shared with youth at the same time. So I just wanted to clarify for everyone, no, they're not confined to that area, but it is a very small area, and that's the only thing available for them.
Thank you.
Anybody else? All right, closing the public comments at 5:57. Thank you all so much for your comments. Moving on to our presentations, item number 4 is our quarterly presentation from our Public Safety Department. This is their report regarding crime statistics and law enforcement activities in the fourth quarter of fiscal year 2023. Passing it over to Chief.
Thank you. Mayor, Council, we're enacting a leadership development program where we have officers come and speak with me and give you all the numbers and kind of put a face to our department. First individual who has volunteered to assist me is Sergeant Michael Brummett, president of our Woodway Public Safety Association. He was instrumental, a little bit about him, instrumental in the over $15,000 that we raised for the condominiums, victims of the condominium fires that we were able to distribute. He headed up the donation from the association, which was 2,000 or 2,500, it was a lot, 2,500. Great approach and a great leader within our department. Veteran of the city for around 13 years. Previously, McLennan County Correctional Officer for how long?
A couple years.
Several years experience on SWAT and a pretty mediocre softball player. But I'm going to hand it off to him. I'm going to be here if you have any.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Can we just give it up for Mike before he gets started? Thank you. I want to make sure we give you thanks for all you do.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And we thank you guys for all your hard work, time, and effort. It doesn't go unnoticed. We do not take you guys for granted. The decisions you make in here affect all of us, and we appreciate you. We really do. I know some of your work's difficult, and we see that. Just know that there are lots of people behind you, rooting for you, cheering you on. We want you guys to succeed. Our quarterly stats this quarter, right here. Can we go back once? There's a couple pictures I'd like for you guys just to see. A couple fires we had this quarter. One's the... As you all know, the Western Oaks condos, probably, we were talking earlier, probably one of the biggest fires we've ever worked here in the city of Woodway was that Western Oaks fire. The other one was Forest Oaks fire. We got a couple guys up here I would like to talk about a little bit. Corporal Barron, this older gentleman, could barely make it inside the department, and Corporal Barron was there to help him walk inside and out. Other two guys here on the side are Corporal Hilliard and Sergeant Potts with K-9 Shaka at an event. And it looks like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Corporal Dudley there with the balloons behind him. It looks like his first day of school. just a little view of some of the guys and just kind of what we do and what we'll talk about here right now. Here are some of the stats. We'll go over some of these numbers. The first box here, you got July 1st, 2022 to September 30th, 2022. This quarter, from July to September, you'll notice police calls for service, 5,001. That's down from the same time last year. Right next to that is reports taken. You'll see that number. The officers took in 118 reports. That is also down. That's down 18% from the same time last year. It was 144. There's a reason for that. As we go down, I'll bring back up that reports taken slot and kind of fill you in on why that's down a little bit. Next box is our fire calls and EMS calls. It seems like we've been doing a lot of those, a lot of EMS calls here lately. That's down from same time last year. Looks like about 12% or so. Our VCO calls for service is up. I thought it would be a lot higher because I think we've been on every dog in the city so far this quarter. I think we're really familiar with everyone's dog these days. We know where they belong and where they live. So, but that's up like 4%. Our traffic stops, 1506. Compared to the same time last year at 1630, our traffic stops are down 7%. However, our citations right next to it, our citations are up. They're 543. They're up about 10%. Our arrests, up 18%. 32 of those arrests this quarter are driving while intoxicated and or under the influence arrests. And I would like to note, this quarter we ran a STEP program, which is it's a grant from the state and through DPS. It pays our officers time and a half on certain days, certain weekends. It could be a holiday weekend, 4th of July, something like that. For about a week, they'll pay our officers overtime to strategically look for certain offenses. If it's drug-induced or if it's driving while intoxicated folks, they strictly look for those. That's probably a reason our arrests up quite a bit this quarter. Accidents are up 27%, 37%. I believe a big reason for that is all the construction going on in Highway 6 and up there by the Valero. We've worked several crashes over there. I can't wait till that's finished. That would be a big relief, but I'm sure you all are too. It backs up pretty good there. Back to our reports taken. As you notice, they're down, it looks like 18% from 144 to 118. You'll notice since that 118's down from the same time last year, our guys have had more time to be proactive. To look for certain things, to patrol neighborhoods, especially our business districts, a lot more. That's why you see the uptick in the arrests, and it's also why citations are up more. When those reports are down, our guys have more free time to go out there and just be proactive in the neighborhoods and the business districts and look for certain vehicles, look for just suspicious activity and stuff like that. It looks like online solicitation stayed the same. Burglaries were up 1. There were a few, I believe, last week. No reports taken. Just individuals going around looking for unlocked doors, and they rummaged through a bunch of cars. I believe on Burgundy, actually on Estates. I believe Rockford were the three streets where they rummaged through cars. Nothing taken, just glove boxes opened and consoles opened up.
Is the difference definition burglary and theft, burglary being home or a building, a house, a business?
So burglary of a habitation, so burglary of a vehicle. So, yes, sir.
But then theft is, I mean, I was kind of wondering, what's the difference in burglary and then theft?
So theft from like HEB would be a theft.
Okay.
If you're going to burglarize a building, a home, habitation, or a business, a theft would be HEB, 7-Eleven. We usually run into quite a few from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just waiting.
For sure. Yeah.
If it's open, it's a theft. If it's closed, it's a burglary.
Okay. All right, Mike.
Yeah, violation of city ordinance.
Oh, okay.
So it's we did run a few of those. As we all know, the water restrictions and stuff like that, we run on those quite a bit. And again, these dogs are running us ragged. We're always chasing dogs. For sure. No doubt. Thefts are down, which is good. Our guys are out there. They're being observed. They're being seen. Staying in the business districts again. We try to keep a presence over there. Assaults, 4, those are down. And weapons violations are also down. So we're doing something right.
You're doing a lot of right.
Absolutely.
You're doing a lot right.
Thank you.
Just a couple more things I would just like to for you guys to know about. We did work a couple big fires this quarter. I do want to brag on a few of my guys out there, what they've been doing on the streets. One's Corporal Miller and K-9 Don. They were assisted, Captain Adams, myself, and Corporal Miller and K-9 Don assisted the AG's office, the postal inspector, and the Customs and Border agents out the Colony Apartments here a couple weeks ago on an individual worked for the post office some sort. Don't know a lot of details into all that, but Corporal Miller used K-9 Don. He was very efficient with K-9 Don on the suspect's vehicle. The dog alerted multiple times on the vehicle. It's the most fentanyl I've ever seen in my life. There were thousands of pills inside that vehicle. Along with other narcotics and other evidence of crimes. They did a magnificent job working with other departments that we're not familiar with, that we don't get to work with a lot. They did a very good job in working with those departments. And they were very impressed with K-9 Don and Corporal Miller in locating that. It just helped out with the PC on the car and all that stuff. But they did a very good job there. And last was just this last case report was just from last week. One of our night shift officers made a traffic stop, and long story short, individual was arrested and possessed over 30 heroin capsules. So that's becoming a big deal now. So it was a very good arrest from one of Woodway's finest. He did a very good job during that stop. And just a couple cases there, just kind of give you an idea of what our guys are doing. We're out there working hard. We're looking for suspicious activity and all that stuff. And we want to represent you professionally and do our best out there. So next, if you guys have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Council, any questions for...
Just one statement that I hear over and over. This is the finest police department in all of Texas. Everyone is very pleased with what's going on. And from the top to the bottom, everybody's good.
That's right. Absolutely. And it starts here. It starts here in this room. And it filters on down. So. Absolutely. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Great presentation. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it. Thank you all. All right. Well, item number five is our quarterly presentation from Community Services and Development. This is their report regarding progress on new construction, anticipated completion dates, and the issuance of certificates of occupancy and inspection statistics for the fourth quarter of fiscal year 23. Mr. Norman.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. You are stuck with me. I can look into getting somebody else to do my presentation at some point. Charleston Park, Lakes of Heather Run, is just one of the houses being built over there. Three more of these are also all in Heather Run. You know, we've seen an uptick out there in Heather Run with these four projects. We've probably had 8 or 10 you've seen in the last few quarters. Westlake Edition. No house has started, but I will tell you he's got the entrance done, flowered, and decorated. He's ready to get going, so he's fixing to start putting some houses out there. It looks really nice out there. Stone Lake Circle. You'll notice all these. Lake Forest 1, three of the larger houses going up there by the lake in the Lake Forest Phase 1. These are all Lake Forest 3. If you'll remember, they're throwing those up pretty quickly. They'll be filled up pretty soon, but these are five more projects they've got in Lake Forest 3. These are some kind of interspersed and empty lots around town. Got one on Old McGregor. Ritchie Road, North Ritchie Road, is going to be Badger Ridge. That's going to be the second house that's being built in that Badger Ridge development. And then the other three are basically just kind of interspersed in some empty lots. These are all going to be Tanglewood. Also, again, Tanglewood, we all know they're going up pretty quickly. We tried to get a couple blocks. You can kind of see the blocks coming together there on Kanai. RW Court has got a lot of open permits, so they're moving forward pretty quickly on those two blocks. Some commercial development. La Bottega, you'll notice, they're moving along. The center picture there is a metal shed that we built at the shop out at Tater Hill. The old shop was in disrepair, basically, and needed to be replaced. The guys did a great job, got a contractor in here and threw that up. We're protecting a lot of equipment. We've got some storage on the end of it. It's really going to be helpful. I know the guys themselves are putting lights in it as we speak to get some light on it, but they did a really good job and really protecting some expensive stuff. Every year everything gets more expensive, but they're really doing a great job keeping that thing protected. That last shot over there is out that steakhouse that's going up. They're also moving forward and be a good addition out there at the Outlook.
John, can you tell us anything about that steakhouse?
I cannot. I think in an article, I think I read the name of it. It wasn't anything that I recognized. But they're supposed to have a nice patio on the back that is kind of be facing the musical area back in the back. So I think it's going to be pretty nice as far as that goes.
La Bottega, is that the DeCampleys?
It is. And if you remember them from the wine meeting the other night, they were also there serving some food, and they're excited to get going, and they're excited to be here.
Wonderful.
And they're going to have some good food over there for sure. The left side picture there, Colonnade Retail Shell, that's basically a 4 or 5 bank that they're still working on over there on the Colonnade. It's going in nicely, and then you'll notice on the right, the Family Center, which is going in very quickly. Hopefully they'll be putting in that drive approach pretty quickly. They've done a lot of the dirt work, finished dirt work, and ready for some grass on a lot of the front there, and they're moving right along. And if anybody has any questions, I believe the quarterly figures are attached. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I had heard from a couple of residents about this commercial building that looks like it's getting close to being finished, just on the, it'd be on the eastern side of 84, right there on the Furnace Road, just past Texas Central Expressway. It looks like it was going to be a Starbucks in there.
There's definitely that little section there has about 4 retails. I'm not sure, honestly, if it's confirmed that that's what that's going to be there, but there is about 4. It's definitely got some of restaurant in that, and I'm not sure. I can check and see if they've confirmed what the restaurant's going to be in that little subdivision. When they originally brought that to you, they had said I want to say 5,000 square foot, but we figured it at half retail, half restaurant. So they do have that in there. I'm just not sure if I know the confirmation of what actually is going to be in there.
I think it's hit the media already that it's supposed to be a coffee shop, supposed to be a Starbucks.
Okay. Well, I could get back with you, but I can't confirm. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's what it's going to be or not, personally.
Do you happen to know who the property owner was there?
The property owner, I do not. I know Robeson Construction is doing a lot of the work on it, but the property owner, I'm not sure who the developer is on that job.
Okay. Yeah, the only reason it was a question was because, to my recollection, I don't remember that coming before the council or PNC, and I was just curious. Maybe I forgot who it was. But
yeah, a lot of those buildings, the finish out shells, it's you know, they build the shell and then each individual restaurant will come in and do the finish out. Well, that one not being finished until they finish the actual shell, you probably won't see what's going in for the finish out. So, you know, they do a lot of the plumbing, a lot of the electrical is just kind of very minimal. Mm-hmm. And they get the outside shell done. And then as soon as that's done, just like the Tenovas Health up here where the La Bottega's going, they finish the shell, and then they'll bring us the paperwork to do the inside finish outs. So a lot of times they're going to finish the parking and get that mostly done before they'll start the finish outs on the inside. So you're right. It very well could be down in our office somewhere with some suggestions for what they're doing. I just don't have that information right now with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any questions? Other questions?
Any questions for John?
I don't know if I can ask one of them.
Let's.
I want to know who made the decision to pump all the waste from the beautiful, and it obviously looks like that's where all the focus is all these new subdivisions. But who decided to pump all the waste into our neighborhood?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like
thank you, John. Appreciate it. One second.
We have some staff will contact.
This is on.
Yeah.
It's
Mrs. Baldwin. Mrs. Baldwin.
Baldwin is Berglund.
Thank you. We're gonna get back with you with some answers from the city.
I appreciate that because I've heard that you do all the subdivisions. That I think that's your business, and so it seems like a conflict of interest. And all the sewage is going into our neighborhood. So yes, I'm very upset about it.
Ms. Berglund, we're gonna get back in touch with you tomorrow, and we're gonna make sure that we get all your questions answered. So really appreciate you. Being here tonight. Item number six. Any questions for John? John's gone, but
no,
it's okay. Any other questions? I think we're good. Thank you, John. Thank you. Item number six is presentation by RBDR on the project development history of the new Woodway Family Center building and current project status. So who have we got?
We have the equity partner and the, I guess, the lead project manager, Michael Pepernoff, here with us to do the presentation.
Yes, thank you, council people. We're proud to be here tonight. I'm Keith Bailey with RBD Architects in Waco, Texas, and I'm one of the senior partners at the firm, and tickled to be here to give you guys an update on the project that we're so excited about and hope that the community will be equally excited. Michael Pepernoff is our lead architect, project architect, and he's going to give you a little tour and update you with some facts and continue to build the excitement. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Keith. Hey, guys. So I apologize in advance. My wife always says I'm long-winded, so I'm going to try to go through. I have quite a few slides. I'm going to try to go through quickly, and then at the end, if you all have questions, we can go back and revisit something and have a conversation about, you know, whatever it is that y'all want to know a little bit more about. So the new Woodway Family Center, we're, like Keith said, we are really looking forward to this project being completed. We're proud of it. I'm a fairly recent Woodway resident. My wife and my young family got little kids. We're invested in this project. We're going to be using this facility. So we want to make sure it's right for sure. So this is a rendering of pretty much pretty close to what it's going to look like. So we're going to be doing a little bit of before and after kind of playing the game. This is what it's going to look like. This is where we are to kind of give y'all a picture of how this project is shaping up. Donna. Thank you. So I'm going to go through a quick project history just to kind of place us where we are today. Project's been in the development for a while, so I just want to kind of do that. Next slide, please. So about 4 years ago, City of Woodway Management approached RBDR Architects and started the conversation of, you know, we need new facilities for the Woodway Family Center. And so we kind of slow rolled it at first with the city and started doing some research, trying to figure out what was needed, and started developing the project little by little. Now, of course, in February and March 2020, what happened? COVID. And COVID has had a big impact on all of our communities. It's had a lot of impact on our businesses. And it's a lot of people have reevaluated how they want to do things. And so there was a little break with COVID. And then a little bit later, we kind of resumed the conversation in June of 2020 and started that dialogue of getting a little bit more specific with the project. The city at that point had found a site for the Woodway Family Center. It's where the building is being constructed right now. We got a little bit more specific, started thinking about the site circulation, more programmatic requirements from the city of Woodway, and so we're able to start kind of developing what would become a building. And so in October of 2020 was the first time that the project was formally presented to Parks and Recreation at that time. I would call that almost like a pre-schematic plan where this is what we'd like to have, but we don't have a site yet. We're pretty early. We're not sure about, you know, where we are exactly on budget, and so this is our kind of first shot. And it was a positive presentation, so we kept on going. Next slide, please. So as the project continued to develop, there was a conversation between RBDR and the City of Woodway. How are we going to do project delivery on this project? What are we going to do with the as far as the contractor is concerned? There were some conversations, and it was decided that the Woodway was going to proceed with a CMAR approach. That means construction manager at risk. So why did the City of Woodway want to proceed that way? We have been in an unprecedented sort of construction environment. Y'all know about inflation. Y'all know about the supply chain issues. All of those things have affected construction tremendously over the last, since COVID, really. So we wanted to have a little bit of help. City of Woodway wanted to have a little bit of help so that they could understand, where are we in terms of budget? What does this mean? How do we have a smooth construction process with all the uncertainty? And this is the best way to do it. So they went through a two-step process. So first step, requested qualifications and received qualifications from qualified contractors. Second step, those contractors presented proposals for that work. Third step, those proposals were graded based on a preset scale by the City of Woodway. And the top grades, those contractors were then personally interviewed by City of Woodway officials. So at the end of that, we're continuing in the design process. RBDR, City of Woodway, we're still moving forward because it takes a couple months for this stuff to happen. So in January, there was a schematic building design presented to City Council. So there was another design presented to City Council, good feedback, and so we're continuing to push forward at that point. Next slide, please. So at the end of the CMAR selection process, John Irwin Construction is selected as our construction manager at risk, and it's very helpful because they're able to guide the City of Woodway, guide the design team, and help us be responsible in our decision making. So we're not doing a project that we have a budget, but we don't know how much it's going to cost until we get to the finish line. No, it allows us to make decisions proactively, smartly. It allows us to have a building that is responsible and a construction process that is smooth. So we went through a process with them, made adjustments to the building design, and then we completed construction documents. Next slide, please. At this point, once again, there was a presentation to City Council. So all throughout this process, we're sharing where we are in this process. And so once again, the project was presented. At this point, this is a realistic floor plan. It's a realistic design. It's based on a feedback process and understanding of budget. So at this point, we're pretty close. Next slide, please. So I really want to talk about where we are with this project right now, because everybody sees it. It's getting closer to completing construction, and it's getting there. And kind of want to get everyone a little bit excited, hopefully. I know we've got a lot going on, but this is, I think, a positive thing that's happening for our community. It's been a long time coming. I didn't grow up in Woodway, but I know a lot of people who have, and I know all the great memories that everybody has associated with the Family Center, and we want to keep that going and continue to improve it. So we're going to do a little bit of, like, this is a rendering created by computers from a computer model, and then next slide, please, and then this is where we are. So, you know, there's a plan in place, and that plan is currently being executed. Next slide, please. So key project characteristics. The city of Woodway had some things that they wanted this building to have as far as qualities are concerned. So one of them is they want to do an efficient building, right? So efficient in terms of square footage, efficient in terms of energy, in terms of circulation, in terms of how those spaces are going to be used. There is not a lot of waste in this facility, and y'all will see that when you visit. Durability and longevity. This building is built to last. It's going to be built to last. It is durable. All the building materials are highly durable. Everything is built to be a long-term investment in our city of Woodway community. Flexibility and functionality. So, no, we do not have a lot of different kinds of spaces in this facility. It is lean. It's also very flexible. And you'll see as we go through, our main spaces can be used for a variety of different functions. And really, it's a big space. So y'all can use it for a lot. And then, of course, inspiration, excitement, and fun. I know it's kind of corny, but those are really important things because that's what this facility is all about. It's about that for families. It's about that for our whole community, little kids to big kids, grown kids. Next slide, please. But also, we have requirements that we have to abide by. We have the building codes. We have local ordinances. Your design team, your construction team are professionals, and so is the city of Woodway. And so the Texas Accessibility Standards is a standard for any significant commercial construction project in this great state of Texas, and those standards are enforced. They're enforced through plan reviews where we submit plans to TDLR, which is the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, and they oversee this process. At the end of construction, a professional walks the project and inspects it, physically inspects it. They note any deficiency of accessible, anything that's not fully accessible, they will note. And then there is a follow-up where they come back and they say, if you haven't fixed it, you got a problem. And there's a, you know, serious fines if those problems don't get fixed. So these are these are accessible projects, which means they are meant for everybody in the for the public to use them, and that means somebody who's able-bodied and somebody who is not. So next slide, please. So site, we're going to kind of talk about the site, and then we're going to kind of move into the building a little bit. So, you know, here's a Google Earth image that we pulled somewhere in the middle of construction. You can see on the right side we've got the project kind of starting to come out of the ground. It's just the foundation. You've got the, you know, existing facility. You've got the existing parking area and the budding streets. Next slide, please. Landscaping, of course, there's a landscape component to the project. It's going to be attractive. It's going to be very durable. We're talking about local native plants. It's going to comply with the ordinances. You know, it's going to be irrigated so it survives even if there's drought. So pretty straightforward, but it'll be nice. Next slide, please. Site elements. So, of course, it's not just the building. There are walkways. There are drives. So we have accessible walkways. Everything is going to be accessible, which means that it meets certain requirements. Somebody in a wheelchair can use it. So accessible walkways connecting to the existing parking area. Next slide, please. Accessible parking right at the front of the building, currently being evaluated for, you know, potential of what else we're going to do. Next slide, please. Accessible pathways to get you from the parking area to your building. Next slide, please. And then you've got a protected covered drop-off for anybody who, you know, needs to be dropped off at the front door for any reason. So next slide, please. And then we've got, you know, your front doors. Again, I'm not even going to say it. good for circulation. We've got two doors in and out. You know, they both you know, operate properly, but it's going to help with circulation in the lobby. Next slide, please. Building elements. So we're going to go inside. Next slide, please. So I apologize about the resolution. It's a little bit hard to read the plan, but we're going to zoom into areas, so it's going to be a little bit easier to follow. So, of course, this facility is for everybody. Everybody can get in. Everybody can use the public facilities. It's meant for everybody to be able to, anybody with a disability also be able to use these facilities. We have controlled gymnasium access. A lot of this programming is going to be for kids. It's like the, you know, there's a continuity from the existing family center, and so we want to protect our kids. You know, we've got security cameras, we've got secure access to the gymnasium that, again, anybody can get into, but it helps the staff keep an eye on children coming and going. It's really planning for that. Two elementary schools, we got a basketball area, about 11,000 square feet. It's very efficient, which means we don't have a lot extra, but it suits the needs. So we've got two elementary-sized basketball courts because that is the program, that is the user group that we have here, full elementary size courts, two volleyball courts, and three pickleball courts as well. So we've got some bleachers, and we're going to have some chair seating as well. So it'll have some of the quality of the existing facility, and then we'll have some set bleachers and spaces for, you know, wheelchairs and all that good stuff. And then we've got an indoor event space, which is a modest space, but it's meant to fulfill most of, you know, most of the use that it could get. Most parties will do great in those spaces, or if they, I'm not sure, I haven't looked at the programming docket from the City of Woodway, but if they're doing yoga in there, they can do that, or, you know, they're meant to be flexible spaces. And then there's an outdoor spillover area where you basically double in your capacity a lot of the year. Like today, we got beautiful weather, and we can use those spaces. So we've got covered space, we've got shaded space out there, and it is a very cost-effective way of giving you additional space that you can use a lot of the year. And some of the year, it'll be really, really worthwhile to do that. Cover drop-off area, so protected cover drop-off. Huge projection screen for movie nights. So again, you're going to have different kinds of movie nights or what a presentation. I mean, it could be used for a variety of functions, but kind of activate that gymnasium. Next slide, please. So we're kind of doing before and after. This is a rendering. We're not there yet. They're gonna get there, and it's gonna look, you know, a lot like that. So we've got that little key plan, so you can see the green arrow shows you where the camera is pointing, so you can kind of orient yourself. So you're coming in that space, you're in the lobby, you see that reception counter, there's an office behind that, they've got great visibility, so there's a lot of eyes. You can see what's going on in the lobby. Then you have that green surround area. It's a little bit hard to look at, but we'll zoom in and it'll be able to see a little bit better. You've got a retail area. Next slide, please. So just labeling things, that's what you've got. We can go back if we're going too quick. Next slide, please. Okay, so that's where we are. We're getting there. We're not quite there yet, but we're almost there. All right, next slide, please. All right, so reception area. Of course, you come in, there's going to be somebody to greet you. Anybody can pull up to that reception counter. It's designed appropriately. Next slide, please. Okay, and then you've got that controlled gymnasium access that there's been some discussion about. So, yeah, there's going to be a turnstile. That's a great way to control access. There's also going to be a push bar, so anybody can come in and out of that space, no problem. And those design elements have always been there from the very beginning because we always design for everybody to be able to use this facility. Next slide, please. Gymnasium. So I don't know if anyone's been in there lately. It looks kind of like that, but we don't have all the exciting colors and graphics. And this will be it's going to be a fun space. Whether you like color or not, some people like color. I think most kids like colors. So we've got that gymnasium flooring. We've got those graphics on the wall. Kids are going to be excited to use the space. I think everybody's going to be excited to watch the kids use the space. I think everyone's going to be excited to use the space. Next slide, please. All right, we're just labeling. Basically, you've got everything right off of that space, which is, a very efficient building. It's lean. You don't have a lot of extra corridors. We really don't have any corridors. It is an extremely efficient building. So we have things immediately accessed off that gymnasium space. We got restrooms. We got event space. There are windows so you can kind of see through. So everything's right there. Next slide, please. Of course, we have our restrooms. They should be very durable and clean and nice, easy to clean, accessible, of course. We've got a family toilet. Somebody can go change your diaper, or if somebody needs extra help, they can use that restroom. Next slide, please. Here's just another view. You're looking back towards the way that you enter that gymnasium space or exit. Next slide, please. There's all this stuff labeled. Next slide, please. This is what it looks like today. It may look a little different because I know they're always working over there, so this was taken about a week ago. So that area in the middle that's kind of a little bit different looking, that's because that's going to receive that sports flooring. And then you're going to have the color, very, very efficient windows. Those aren't normal windows. Those are polycarbonate, which means you're never going to have glare in that space, but you're going to have tons of light. Those are durable. They're going to last, and they're really perfect for the application. Next slide, please. Bleachers, we're going to have some bleachers, not extensive. Again, we're working within parameters here, but there's going to be additional seating, additional bleachers, space for wheelchairs. Next slide, please. We have that event space that we talked about a little bit already. Next slide. And then we've got that space. We've got some stuff on the floor, but it's a fun floor. You got some cool windows, TV. There's going to be flexibility of moving tables in and out. And then through those doors, you get a connection to that outdoor patio area. Next slide, please. So in the outdoor patio, right now, what you don't see, you see it on the rendering. On the left side, you see a little, there's going to be a fence there. So basically, somebody could go out there, but if they want to leave, it's going to set off an alarm. So basically, we want to keep our kids from running away. But if there's a fire, then they can still get out. But it's a great space out there. It's going to be secure. It's going to be a great way to get additional square footage out of that building. Next slide, please. And then we got the large projection screen. I dashed in what it's going to look like because I couldn't pull it down. It was too high up. But it's going to be motorized, so we don't have to worry about that. But huge projection screen. A lot of activities can be associated with that. Next slide, please. Very exciting storage. So yeah, we got to have storage. So we're going through pretty much everything. So we're going to have some storage spaces in the building. A little bit of space for refrigerators and ice machines and those kind of back of house functions that everybody needs to have, but they'll be there. And this is like the very exciting way that I end the presentation. So next slide. And then if anybody has any questions, thank y'all.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming. I do have a question. Can you kind of help us to understand how the value engineering process worked with the construction manager at
sure.
RIS?
That's yeah, great. I can do that to some extent. I'm not a contractor, so they're the experts. They develop the budgets. There's a level of trust, and part of that trust lies in the fact that that is a very credible contractor mm-hmm. that's been working in this community for a long time. So there's a level of that we have to have, but there's also a high level of transparency in that process. We know who the subcontractors are. We know the breakdowns of what everything costs. They provide all that. That's part of the positive of the construction manager at risk processes. They lay out their cards, and you can see it. And if there's a subcontractor that is a problem, the city of Woodway can say, I don't want that subcontractor to be on this job. So there's a lot of where they can see this is A, B, C, how much it's going to cost. There's a level of control that the city has with this process versus just bidding a job out. If it just like a normal, you know, bidding process, design, you know, bid, build, that transparency is not there the same way in that process. So that's a very positive thing. So what they do is they get on board, and we might have an idea of where we are with the design and how much that design costs, but nobody can really say very well until they go and they talk to the subcontractors. And the only people that can really do that are the general contractors, which is the big benefit of having a construction manager on board, because they go out and they go in the early stages of as early as they can, and they go out to the community and say, based on these plans and where they are, tell me how much this is going to cost. They come back to the city of Woodway and they say, hey guys, we got $6 million to work with. We're not there. We're at X. It's all public. It's, you know, they were at maybe $7 million at that point. We don't know that until we get that contractor on board. We can guess and surmise, and we call them opinions of probable cost. We call them that for a reason, because they're not estimates. They're based on historical information that we have that in COVID environment, it is not applicable, which is why we knew that this was going to be a good way to go. So when we have a design and we need to take $1.5 million and keep as much as we can for the city of Woodway, that's a tough process. You know, that's a difficult process. That's part of the reason that every time we have a step, we go back to y'all. Sir?
So could you explain, if you would, the difference between opinions of cost
as opposed to an estimate? Just for the
sure. An opinion of cost, it's the reason it's an opinion. It's based on, you might, somebody like an architecture firm that doesn't have access to the contracting community, they can go and look at projects that we've done in the past that are comparable from the last couple of years.
Square footage. And all.
We can look at those things, project type, mm-hmm. and look at, go through spaces, think about how much each individual type of space of a building might cost per square foot. And we can go through that exercise and try to put together a number that's going to be as close as we can get mm-hmm. without being contractors. But again, in the last several years, that has not been effective for us. Everybody has struggled with that. There are times when you go through a process with a contractor and it's still a struggle. In this case, they said this is going to be how much it's going to cost. And at that point, you know, that's how much it's going to cost at a certain point. They provide a GMP, guaranteed maximum price. Mm-hmm. And so there's an accountability with the contractor with that. Now, are there sacrifices, you know, that we had to evaluate? We try to make it so we didn't have to make a lot of sacrifices. You know, we try to make it so that the amount of functionality that you get out of that building is the most that you can squeeze out of $6 million. And that includes soft costs like design fees. So it's really less than that for the construction. So it's a tough process. I think the team worked extremely well together. There's a lot of accountability and transparency in that process. We went through several times, and we made a lot of smart choices that did not involve cutting program, that did not involve cutting functionality. That was just, do we need a roof that goes like this, or can we just have a shed roof that also looks really cool? That's money right there that we save. Mm-hmm. You know, so we, you know, yeah, we're not at that, here's everything that we could possibly want stage in the very beginning. No, we're getting into, we're in a very complicated inflationary construction environment, and we have to deal with the reality. And I think we're still providing a fantastic facility that's going to have more functionality than the current previous facility had, while bringing a lot to the table. So,
yeah, I agree, and I'm really thankful. I think it's so neat to see how you even have that outdoor overflow space that can be actually used for programming and counted on for programming, and I even feel like the lobby could have some function and use. And so I think it also made sense. I know one of the things that we did was move from full regulation courts to mm-hmm. the elementary/middle school, but that's who we typically serve kid-wise, and that works for pickleball as well, and so, which was important to our community. So I feel like it's going to serve our citizens, every single citizen in our community, in a really powerful way. And I'm incredibly proud of it. And thank you for being willing to come and share about it.
Thank you.
What is the square foot of this building?
Of the building?
Correct. Overall.
I'm going to tell you an exact number so I don't lie to you.
It was
15,266.
Now, is that outside to outside?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you know what the net square footage is?
No, but you're always going to have a wall thickness with any building anywhere.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're talking about usable square footage, and that's what I'm...
We originally were talking about 18,000, so we've dropped...
At one point, the building was 22,000 when we had no site, when we had, you know, not a super clear idea of how much it was going to cost, so it's actually more than that.
How large is that event room?
The event room, I don't have the square footage. It looks like about seats about 25 people comfortably, and then you have another maybe 25 outside.
You know the footage, though. I mean, like, is it?
I could get that
20 feet by 20 feet or something like that. Because we're talking about putting that room as the senior center.
Oh, and that, we can provide that. I mean, I'm sure the city would.
That looks to be very cramped, okay. You know. And of course, then we have multiple events that might be going on that would eliminate the seniors for that if we choose to go that way.
I'm sure the city can provide that, and we'll be happy to assist.
Can we have some citizens talk?
We're not going to take public comments right now, just from council, just to keep things moving.
But we will have after the council, correct? Because you were saying that they couldn't talk about something that was on the...
Yeah, public comments is over.
So you will not allow them to speak during this time?
That's right.
Even though we said that they couldn't if there was something that was on the agenda?
No, that was during the public comments. That was pretty clear.
You gave them two different ideas?
Nope. Read it straight from them.
Okay, so we can submit our questions?
Absolutely. Submit your questions to the city.
Get with him and get the answers?
Submit your questions to the city and we'll get your answers.
Specific things that he said, I think, definitely need to get addressed before.
Sir, I didn't get your name. Could you just repeat your name one more time for us? Architect.
Oh, hi. Michael Papernoff.
Papernoff, thank you.
How did we get in touch with you?
Through the city of Woodway.
Just contact us.
Yeah.
Mr. Pepperdine, what's the target opening date for the family center?
I don't have one. I mean, that's a question for city management. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to tell you incorrectly.
Okay.
When will you be complete with the building part? And then, of course, like you said, we might have to do some additional things. When will the building
that's
be?
Same answer.
So you don't know.
Okay. No, I don't have a specific date. I have a date in mind, but there are other people that can answer it better than I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have multiple things that you'll need to get back to us on.
Well, I can't answer every question in the world, sir.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
I apologize for the hostility that you're receiving.
That's okay. I'm good.
But you don't need to apologize for me.
I do want to say the room that you were asked about, the square footage,
yes, sir.
You're going to get us that information. That's not
that's not a problem.
That's not the senior center portion of the family center. They're going to have access to the entire facility. So I just want to go on the record by saying that they're not confined to one room. So regardless of the size of that event space, they have access to the entire facility.
Yeah, I'm not going to get
sure
into
they can play basketball if they'd like.
Last question for
yes,
you,
sir.
Mr. Pepperdine.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you about the turnstile push bar situation.
Sure.
And I would like your professional assessment on this.
Sure.
Could somebody who is on a walker or on a wheelchair easily get through that space, the entryway?
Absolutely. That's what it's in.
Easily, you have to be able to.
The push bar, that is exactly what the push bar is intended for. Yeah. It's got a button to open it, and so.
I was calling you Pepperdine. I apologize.
That's all right. It's a tough one.
I'm getting everybody's name wrong today, but
I do have
they can have access easily through the turnstile or the push bar situation. I just want to be clear.
Yes, sir. They can.
There's going to be no obstacles to somebody with a wheelchair or a walker getting inside the building.
No.
On your photo that showed the different doors looking towards where the restroom and the rooms, I don't think you pointed out how to get into that room. Isn't it pretty much towards the end of the building for the doorway? So if seniors was to use that building, they would have a fairly long walk.
Can we pull that up, maybe that slide?
Ms. Barkley. Oh, you're looking back.
Oh. Just
it'd be back a couple.
We can just keep going back. So, are you referring to the restroom?
No.
Or
the event room.
Oh.
Doesn't look like the door is shown there.
No, it is. It's just the doors aren't. There's a recess there, so
okay.
it's set in.
Okay.
But it.
Yeah, there's.
Where the storage door is.
Yeah, I mean, I would say your evaluation of distance is fairly subjective. We could say it could be at the very front of the building or it could be at the very back of the building.
I'm just thinking from one on a walker.
Yeah, sure.
Thankfully, you don't have to cross the full length of the gym.
Yeah, and there's some space that you're not actually having to walk across the sports floor. You know, there's a decent amount of space, corridor space, that you don't have to be going through a bunch of kids, unless they're playing dodgeball. That would be tough. But
are you walking in at like where G and E are?
We'll take questions. We'll take questions
sir.
Separately. We'll take questions.
We are
separately.
Going to take questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can email or contact us.
Okay. So now you'll be able to ask.
Yeah.
But I do see that controlled entry is where. That's what they mean by that is the turnstile and the gate.
Yes, ma'am.
There's been some confusion about ability to access the building, so I just wanted to be clear about everybody's going to be able to access it regardless if they're on a wheelchair or a...
Yes, sir.
Okay. You've said it three times. Thank you.
Yes,
I
sir.
Really appreciate that. That's all the questions I have.
Okay.
Gail, do you have a question? Okay. Any other questions? Mr. Williams? I could tell you've got something.
Well...
Ask now, because I'm about to let him go.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me apologize that some of those questions were shouldn't have been directed toward you. You have nothing to do with it.
That's okay.
But I would like you to go back to this question of how you come about. I know you're not a contractor.
Sure.
But I think it's important for the audience, for the citizens to understand that there is a legitimate difference between an estimate and an opinion. Mm-hmm. And why you do it that way. And where does this estimate come from? Now, again, I know you're not a contractor.
Sir.
You don't have that. But if you can kind of flesh that out a little bit, I think that would be helpful for them to understand.
Sure. I want to make sure I get a statement from the contractor that I want to represent them fairly. So I don't want to use the wrong words. And the way that they refer to it is a like a budget number. Okay? So... the way that the earlier you are in the development of a project, the less kind of developed the ideas are, the less we know exactly what the construction materials are. Maybe we don't know how tall the building is. Maybe we don't know a lot of things. It's harder to get an accurate number for how much something is going to cost. And also, the further away we are from the construction date, the more difficult it is, because the longer there is, the more uncertainty and potential for changes. And right now, that's a big deal. So... this project has been 4 years and more longer. I mean, it's been, you know, it's been in people's minds for a long time. But as far as actually developing a design for a building that will be built, it's been 4 years in the making. So the type of numbers that were kind of floating around in the early going pre-COVID and what you can get for those numbers, they go out the window fairly quickly. So that's why we understood that we needed City of Woodway, the design team. We could use a little extra help from some professionals that deal with construction every single day and understand how much things are going to cost. So those people go, and they will go to the person that either that person or somebody like them or several of them at the same time, and they will ask. They will have a set of drawings, and we produce the drawings. And the closer you get to being developed with the drawings, the closer you get with your numbers. They'll take those drawings, they'll give that, just like when the project gets bid, ultimately, when you get that hard number, they go and they take those drawings to those people, and they get a number back. They put all those numbers together, along with all of the different kinds of contingencies and all the different things that are part of the construction reality, and they put them all together, and they present those complete sets of numbers to the City of Woodway for review. And so we can't, when we had a building that was 22,000 square feet and had X, and we had a building that was 19,000 square feet and had Y, we were moving closer to where we needed to be in reality to have the building that the City of Woodway could afford and needed, really. And there are a lot of good decisions that happen with that. When your back is against the wall a little bit, you have to make smart decisions. And so we eliminated the waste from this project, because in the beginning, there's always some things that are fluffy, right? This is a lean project.
So in the beginning, were you all operating under the auspices of there is going to be a budget, but you didn't have a figure?
I think we had some, but at the time, the per square foot numbers were completely different in the construction industry. And that's not just one contractor. This is across the board. And so what you could get post-COVID or a year or two post-COVID when inflation was continuing mm-hmm. is very different than what you could get, you know, earlier on. And it's only recently, I mean, y'all look at the news and y'all see, we're still dealing with it. It's a continuous thing that we're all dealing with. So
it's kind of the issue when it comes to government and how government finances the project. I mean, we have a budgetary process that we have to go through. And this is for you all as the public more than anything. And we have to approve a budget well in advance of what actually happens on the ground. And so there's a couple of ways that we can address these things when it comes to dealing with building a building. We can do one, we can do change orders as we move along. But oftentimes change orders are really going to be about things that need to happen, have to happen, that really weren't part of the plan per se. There's things that may come up.
Yes, sir.
Or we can go back to council and say, hey, we want to increase the budget. Now, we know that that wasn't going to necessarily be the way to go. So the third and usually the final option is to value engineer, correct? Mm-hmm. To whittle down to the number based on what we can get for the dollar at that time,
mm-hmm.
correct?
And it's
is
better.
That your estimation as to why we're at 15,000 square feet as opposed to 22,000 square feet?
Sir, to answer that question to some extent, in certain cases, some of that square footage, we didn't need some of it.
If it's not functional square
footage. We didn't need some of it. Having a 120-person meeting room and the cost associated with that and the amount of daily use for the program at the time, right, the city of Woodway, they looked at it and like, we don't need this right now for this building. Somewhere else maybe. But for a kid's party, you're going to have an empty room with some kids in a corner. And so, you know, there are ways of working around that. But it came down to getting the city of Woodway something that was in budget, that was still very functional, that was still going to be, you know, fitting the city's needs. And, you know, I think the building will show, you know, if it's, hopefully it's doing that. It's going to open and it's going to get tested. But I think the team, the city of Woodway, the design team, the contractor, have worked very, very hard to do that.
I'm good. Thank you.
Mr. Manager, is there a way that we can put this, make this accessible on the website, on the city website, this presentation?
Sure.
Okay. That'd be good.
That could answer a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Mr. Pepperdoff?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, gentlemen. Council, we're moving on to item number 7. This is a discussion and possible upcoming action on an interlocal agreement between the city and Meals on Wheels to host their services. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. And I believe this is Gail Avance, Council Member Avance item, so I'll pass it over to him.
All right. Thank you. We have gone on a little bit, and I appreciate your patience for staying around. I'll be quite brief. I do believe that a Woodway Senior Center, whether it's located in the new family center or the old family center or the church that is downhill from the Arboretum, that the new that the senior center would be better utilized if it operates something like the Harrison Center, located beside Lion's Den. A bit more about Meals on Wheels. All meals are prepared at the MOW Center on Waco Drive, quite near the river. Some are delivered to distribution centers such as Central Prez here in Woodway, which passes these meals to volunteers who deliver them to homes and apartments of mostly elderly women who do not have transportation. Meals are also delivered to congregate sites listed in the attachment, and I've got a sample menu from Meals on Wheels and also a listing of congregate sites. Feel free to check them as we adjourn. I would also add that Meals on Wheels is federally funded with a local match. All right. Let's see, nearest to Woodway is the Harrison Center, as I've already mentioned. Harrison provides lunch on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays to perhaps 20 to maybe 30 people. Anyone over 55 is welcome to come, and a $2 contribution per meal is requested. 3 part-time MOW employees oversee the meals and other activities quite similar to the activities that Central Prez now offers. The city of Waco owns Harrison Center and annually contributes about $12,000 to Meals on Wheels. Harrison also can be rented out for other events. And I will tell you that I don't know how building maintenance and cleaning is funded. But to conclude, I do believe that a Woodway Senior Center, wherever located, would be better utilized if it operates something like the Harrison Center. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dr. Knapp. All right, well, the item is just discussion on whether or not we'd like to discuss future action for an interlocal agreement between Woodway and Meals on Wheels. So.
I think it's a wonderful idea. You know, we do have quite a few elderly people. I know some people like to discount how many we have, but if you take this over 65, 25% or more. If you take over 55, I think it runs it up to about 45%. Some of those people have lost their spouse, and this is a wonderful way to build community where they can eat with other people in the community and build friends. I know we have churches doing it too, but some people are not as comfortable about going to churches. This would just be another wonderful thing that we could do, no matter where it's located, for the citizens of Woodway. And I believe it'd be a low-cost thing to build community.
Interestingly, our existing family center, what I'll call the old family center, seems to be somewhat uniquely set up already to accommodate the use of Meals on Wheels, as opposed to the new family center, which, looking at the floor plan, it really does not suit it well.
Correct.
And, you know, just one more reason for utilizing that existing structure for something that we all know is needed. And I think it's a great idea.
Agree.
I was going to ask, do we have a full understanding of, I mean, I know you've shown that list, of where all in town there are Meals on Wheels being used? Because, so having been on nonprofit boards, it's really important to me that we're not just taking people from other services that are already established and being used, but that we're partnering with and adding value to by hosting it. And so I'm just curious about what else is available. And with the, so it sounds like, I think she said Mondays and Thursdays. Can we ask her a question?
You can ask her. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Gail has on the congregant lists our hours incorrectly as Monday 10 to 12.
Okay.
It has always been Monday 9:30 to 12:30. We do open half an hour, stay open half an hour later, so it's 9 to 1. And we're looking to add Thursday.
Okay, and our people...
It was because they, Meals on Wheels looked at where the other availability was, and they suggested that that's what seemed right for this area.
Okay. So, and are you hosting people? Are they eating there?
Yes.
Or are they, okay, they're not just coming and picking up the meals and taking
them? No, they do not come and pick up meals.
Okay.
We have a separate volunteer that take the meals from Meals on Wheels and deliver them to people who are around.
Okay. Okay.
And then in our a building that's separate from our worship space, it's a gymnasium type building.
Right. I've seen that.
That's where the people come in for games and fellowship and to eat a table together.
Okay. So we're making sure that we are not having offering on the same days that Central Presbyterian Church is offering it.
Where are you located again? The facility is at 101 Sharon Drive, which is adjacent to, connected to our church at 9191 Woodway, just behind Brown House Cafe.
On the access from the access.
Doctor.
About 2 miles from here.
Dr. Avant, did you hear the Reverend talking about at Central Pres they have where you can go in and sit down and have
meals? My understanding at Central Pres that any sit down meals you have are entirely separate from Meals on Wheels. That you get the congregant meals delivered, and then those are passed out to volunteers. Is that correct?
No. I'm not sure I understand what you are thinking. Let me try to explain. So at
Pastor Hardy, would you mind just coming up here, if you don't mind, so we can all hear you better? Thank you.
Judith Hardy, 125 Sterling
Thank
Ridge.
You. Thank you. Just so we can hear you better.
So Meals on Wheels delivers two large containers of meals. Mm-hmm. We have volunteers come and they separate mm-hmm. that out for delivery. Those go into vehicles and they leave the facility. Mm-hmm. They leave in our facility meals. It includes breads, fruits and vegetables, fresh fruits and vegetables, juice, milk, and a hot meal. Mm-hmm. And the folks come for the center. They have coffee and refreshments that we provide. Some of them also bring their own. Mm-hmm. It's become its own little community. We have people from as far away as Lorena and Waco. The Waco Transit brings people to the facility. We have a little portico so that they can be dropped off at the door. And we have a schedule. So we have just time to visit, and then we move to games and crafts, and sometimes we'll have two or three different tables where people do what they want to do. And then at about 11 o'clock, we start asking, would you like a meal? And our volunteers go into the kitchen and get the Meals on Wheels meals that have been left.
Okay.
And they bring them out and serve them at the table, and people eat together. Some of them eat while they're playing games because they don't want to give up their game yet. eating and crafting is a little more difficult. But we have several tables and several settings so people can move and group as they wish to group. Our volunteers take care of all of the trash and all of the cleanup. The yoga person comes in after the meal is served, and she says it promotes digestion because she's doing the stretches and all of that.
So your meals on Wheels are actually served, what, 5 days a week, and to about how many people on average?
We right now we have 1 day a week. One day a week where they're served in our facility, and Meals on Wheels, we partner with St. Jerome's Catholic Church to deliver the meals. And so you have to mm-hmm. think about these two things differently. Mm-hmm. They're the same meals, mm-hmm. but some of them are being delivered to homebound folks, and some of them are at the center. Okay. And right now we have the 1 day. We have our session meeting, our church board meeting tomorrow night. We'll talk about opening up a second day. They didn't feel that it needed to be 5 days a week because Woodway is so close to all of these other centers. Mm-hmm. And even the folks that are coming to our center on Monday, mm-hmm. some of them are going to Sol Ross, some of them are going mm-hmm. to Harrison. Mm-hmm. And we sort of interflow with some of the activities that we do. We pass one activity to us, and then we pass it on to the next.
So on the one day a week in which meals are actually served in your facility, what's the average number of people who take a meal?
Well, I would say the average number of people who take a meal is less than the average number of people who attend. There are some who attend and choose mm-hmm. not to eat. They're there for the fellowship. Mm-hmm. They're not. Most of them are not church members.
Mm-hmm.
Our volunteers are church members.
About
we have about
how
I think
many,
we have 10 to 15.
Would that be?
I think we have 10 to 15 meals that come to us and stay in the facility to be given to people who attend.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Pastor Hardy, last question before we're trying to make a decision on Meals on Wheels for later discussion. We're not deciding anything tonight, just rather if we should continue this conversation. So would you have any heartburn if we had a Meals on Wheels here also, or would that do you think there's not enough demand for it? I just wanted to know as we're making our decision, because we're not all experts on, apart from Dr.
Yvette. If what we're wanting is something to be 5 days a week, I think it would be great to try to partner.
Okay.
You know, if you all want to do the 5 days a week and ours becomes superfluous, then I trust that some other ministry or way of addressing the community needs would be found, because that's, we're not trying to add to our pockets. We're spending out of our pockets, and we're not trying to add to our pews. We're trying to be a part of helping the community.
Okay, so.
Wonderful. Yeah,
that brings up the question. Are you talking about out of pocket? What is it costing the church, would you estimate, to have Meals
well,
on Wheels?
Well, before we had the Meals on Wheels Center, we were already donating, I think it was $3,000 to Meals on Wheels to help with deliveries, and we had volunteers who were delivering in other areas and still do. They did not give that up. And we still are giving that directly to Meals on Wheels, having nothing to do with our center. We also are funding our center for the one day with $1,200 a year to help cover the cost of coffee and those kind of things. But there are many expenses that are taken on by folks who come, even some of our congregate people, not members of the church, people from the community who come, one who is in a wheelchair, motorized, who has to be brought by the van. She has even brought her own craft things to share her favorite things with the group. So it really is, Meals on Wheels says they're providing not just food for people who are hungry, but fellowship for people who are alone. And it's been a wonderful ministry. And I think that if Woodway could help to augment that for citizens, that our number, we were told, is 60 and over are able to eat. If you're under 60 and you want to come and volunteer, then you can also eat. And so we've been able to incorporate some folks who are maybe differently abled and unable to work, not yet 60, but they can take charge of making sure everybody signs in, and that's their volunteer status, and then they get to eat, you know.
Okay.
I think this could be a wonderful partnership between city and your church, from the standpoint of if people knows at both places that both places are available, with a city of 9,300 people, I could see build to a larger amount with having both of them working together, having the two locations. You know,
and I think the way that the city operates and the way that the church operates as far as committees and councils, mm-hmm. and making decisions means that it doesn't have to be a one and done set decision.
No.
That as needs change, we can work together.
I think it'd be wonderful. And it would benefit, I think, your church and our city to have both of them going at the same time.
Well, it needs to benefit the people.
100%.
Wow, exactly right. 100%. Well said. Well said.
Thank you,
Pastor Jude.
A quick addition to Judas. I'm a volunteer at the Senior Citizens also.
Okay.
Come see us on Mondays. If you haven't been to see our activity center, come see us on Mondays. Sit down and play games, have a meal, a cup of coffee. I brought kolaches today from West, and they were really good.
Thank you.
Come and see us. You're always,
thank you.
Always welcome.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you guys for all you do and for operating that senior center. Really appreciate it. All right, council. Well, let's decide if we want to put this on a future agenda for action. I think I'm ready.
You're asking that when this got passed, it's not the interlocal agreement. That's between two governing bodies.
Yeah.
So it would be a memorandum of understanding or some sort of other arrangement.
We'll just change it to memorandum of understanding.
Sure.
Okay. All right.
I was going to say that earlier, but I've worked with Meals on Wheels as the park director.
Great organization, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Avant, would you like to make the motion on this, since this was your item?
Yes, that our city manager be authorized to have a conversation with Meals on Wheels.
Okay.
And I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you all. Item number 8 is discussion and consider action on acceptance of application to develop in the Plant District Office Complex, Lot 20, Block 1, Woodway Elementary School Addition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 9108 Jordan Lane. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
It's been moved.
Second.
Seconded. Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, Mr. Manager, number 7, please. Number 8.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. If we can go to slide 62, Ms. Barton, this is kind of a plat of the location of it to give you the exact place. It is behind what is now Dutch Brothers along Jordan Lane. This is the first step, the application to develop by Mr. Randy Reed, who is the applicant in this method for his client. It will be an office complex. On page 17 of your agenda is the notifications letters that went out, and on page 20 is the beginning of the office complex drawings, although those are subject to change as the process occurs. The next step will be a presentation, if you approve tonight, to the planning and zoning, which will be the first public hearing, October 24th, and they will come to you with a recommendation to your November 13th council meeting for the second public hearing.
Okay, sir. Council, is there any questions? I don't guess the applicant is here.
I don't see Mr. Reed here tonight. Oh, we might have the architect.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Any questions for the architect that's here?
Sorry, my name's Sterling Thompson, 2416 Columbus Avenue, Waco. I'm answering any questions you've got.
Appreciate it. Thank you. All right, there being no questions, I'll entertain a motion on number 8, please.
I move that we accept the application to develop in Plan District Office Complex, Lot 20, Block 1, Woodway Elementary School, addition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 9108 Jordan Lane.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much. Okay, we're at item number 8, number 9, our consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of non-controversial, routine, and budgeted items, which require no public hearing. The consent agenda is subject to being approved with a single motion. However, the mayor or any other city council member may remove any item from the consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. Mr. Manager, any comments on the consent agenda, please?
If I can go through a few of them. The first one is 9B as in boys to purchase budgeted ballistic vests from GT Distributors, which is a participant of Texas Buy Board, not to exceed $30,000, $30,387.87. 9C is an interlocal agreement between the city and McLennan County 911 Emergency Assistance for a grant to be used for a partial payment of the recording device for incoming phone calls, which keeps us in compliance with the Criminal Justice Information Services Act. The total bill is $22,502, and the 911 granted us $15,000 towards that. Your agreement is on page 32. 9D is in David is to purchase 6 new self-contained breathing apparatus known as SCBAs. This is also a Texas Buy Board company, which will be purchased through Casco or Costco Industries. For an amount not to exceed $54,000, we're replacing items that are at least 20 years of age that are still in service and outdated. The next item is to purchase public safety patrol Tahoes and supervisor vehicles to Caldwell County, which is also a Texas Buy Board participant, for an amount not to exceed $217,202. This is to replace aging and older fleet. And the next item, the last item for the consent agenda, we go and do wastewater root control treatment services. This is to a company called Duke's Root It. It will be for the amount not to exceed $27,131. This is done about every other year as budgeted throughout the sewer system. And your quote is on page 38. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Appreciate the updates on the consent agenda. Council, you have the consent agenda in front of you. Are there any items that you'd like removed for separate discussion?
No.
All right, there being none, I will entertain a motion on approving the consent agenda, please.
So moved.
Second.
Seconded, thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the consent agenda is approved as stated. Thank you all very much. All right, moving on to item number 11. This is our executive session. Notice is hereby given that the City Council will go into executive session in accordance with the following provisions of the Government Code, Section 551.074A1, the appointment, employment, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline, or dismissal of a city officer or employee, employment contract for assistant city manager. I'll close the open meeting at 7:20 and go into executive session at this time. Ms. Barkley, I'm calling the open session at 7:43 p.m. Item number 12 is discussion and consider action to authorize the city manager to execute an employment agreement with Adam, is it Nylett? Where is he? He's gone.
He quit already.
There he is.
I wanted to give him the contract.
Discussion and consider action to authorize the city manager to execute an employment agreement with Adam Nylett as assistant city manager. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. City Manager?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I knew this was a new road to travel on, but I think it's good for the council, the city, and Adam to have a strong base and a strong relationship long-term with the city. And I think this meets all those objectives that we're trying to set out. So as we discuss in executive session, I support and ask for your vote to approve this contract.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Council, is there any discussion, any further discussion on this item?
Just welcome, and we're so happy to have you.
Yes. Welcome, sir.
You know what you owe me, right?
Uh-oh.
We're just going to keep it at that. You probably don't remember, but I will bring it back up.
Oh, dear. I don't know what it is. I don't want to know.
I don't know.
I don't want to know.
Just say this way. It has something to do with cars.
Cars, okay. He is a car guy. Well, we want to welcome you. So grateful that you're here. So, Council, I'll entertain a motion on item number 12, please.
I'll make a motion to approve the contract for our new assistant city manager, Adam Nylett.
Very good. Thank you.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you all. Mm-hmm. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you all.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank Under you. Contract. Yep. Yes, sir.
Each of you, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming to Woodway.
Thank you.
Welcome to Woodway.
Golf clap. There you go. Item number 13 is the city manager's report. Mr. Manager, do you have any updates for us?
No report, sir.
Thank
I've
you.
I've got a couple of things to say. First, I want to thank the city manager and the city for on October 21st, there's going to be a cleanup day, just total community setup, but I believe that the city's going to supply a dumpster to help clean that cemetery up that we've been talking about. And you got something to say about that?
I was going to add something to kind of what you're talking about as far as the cleanup is concerned, but go ahead.
Well, I just want to thank the city for adding that extra help. We've got plenty of people, I believe, and we might be stepping on people. There's so many because I think there's four churches and boys club and everything else. Mm-hmm. But many hands make light work. But city bringing that dumpster will help a lot. The one other little thing is some of the community has been asking about wanting to set up a community development group that they want to have like four citizens, two parks board members, and two council members to work on identifying the needs of the old family center to become new family center and help with finding bids. These are professional people who won't make a dime off of it. But I was wanting to know, is that something that the city manager can approve, or is that something that we should bring before the council? That was just something I wanted to find out.
Well, is it legal to begin with? I mean, we have boards, right?
Well,
for that purpose?
Go ahead.
Right, we would have to create by ordinance new boards.
Okay.
This would just be a committee. It wouldn't really be a board, and it'd be a very limited time. They wanted to work till the first of the year and report back to the council at that time what they found. It's not something that would be a long-term anything.
So let me ask a question real quick. Statutorily speaking, we could commit to creating a committee, but my understanding would be that we cannot commit to allowing these individuals to go out and solicit bids.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so they wouldn't be able to do that part.
They wouldn't be able to find the bids just to be able to check and balance?
No.
No,
no, statutorily, they
okay, I'll let them know. I'll let them know.
We, city manager's right here. We can ask him.
Well, that's what I was asking.
I mean, that's what the city manager's here for, is to go out and do the paperwork administratively.
You want to say what needs to be said, David?
Right. I mean, the procurement statutes are what they are, and there's a reason that cities procure services like this in the way that they do. They're all statutorily governed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this, Councilmember Williams is absolutely right.
Well, this is just something that many citizens have been asking me about, and there was four that definitely wanted to be that are professionals, engineers, business owners, that was wanting to help to make sure we didn't have an overloaded price.
And you can confirm with them that that would be an illegal method. Okay.
Tell them to research, Google Dan Rastinkowski.
Okay. I will let them know.
If you don't know who he is.
I know who he is.
Yeah.
I'm a famous Democrat.
There you go. With jail.
Huh?
With the jail.
He did.
Yeah. Racketeering.
But that was not
mail
what they were
fraud.
Planning
Actually,
to. All they
fraud.
Were planning
Legally
on doing
fraud.
Was getting the lowest bids.
But it was racketeering.
Yeah.
Mayor Pro Tem, did you have something you want to add about the cleanup?
Yes. I like that idea of getting the citizens. I did that a lot when I was in previous capacities of the cities. And I like that idea of getting them involved. And the lady that was talking about the creek,
mm-hmm.
is there a way we can do something to kind of, I know we're going to get back to it, to do a creek bed cleanup or something like that.
I think it's premature because you're in a construction zone.
Yeah.
And I tried to talk to her today on the phone, and she just did all the talking.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a construction zone. You can't be in there. She shouldn't be walking in there. She shouldn't be in her dog there. It's a dangerous environment. She's complaining about the pumps. The pumps are moving the sewage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if not, it's going to be in the creek. That's the whole reason why we're doing this project. I know it's ugly. I know it makes noise, and I know it's an inconvenience, and I know it's going on about 170 days longer than the time to be mm-hmm. finished. We can't control that. But I can tell you that I and Adam and John and Mitch walk or drive that along with LD, the inspector, and the engineer of record. It's clean, it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want this stuff to go that way instead of up into your house, the pumps have to be there, and they have to be making noise.
We don't have any CSOs, do we?
What is that?
Combined sewer overflows. Not in Woodway. I would suspect not here.
Not to my knowledge.
So
that's a new term.
CSOs, Indiana, we had them in Indiana. We had a consent decree with the U.S. government that we had to do something about them because when they combined sewer system, stormwater.
We have a disconnect. There's a process, and I think for her general area where she's living or walking uh-huh. is the severe disconnects that were occurring that tripped all this requirement to okay. do this work.
Well, I was asking because I was just thinking about it. If there weren't, a lot of times they're discharged into a creek. That could be a problem.
Yeah, the
federal government had done away with
it. The other thing she didn't give me an opportunity to answer was that the way it looks now is not going to be how it's going to look when it's finished.
True.
There will be restoration work that comes back. But she was not in a mode of listening today.
She's a little upset.
And I hope that when the staff calls her tomorrow, she will be more in a listening mode.
Okay. I think she will.
Well, as long as the contractor will. Restores like they're supposed to, it should be fine. Now, how far along is the creek bed and how far down are they going to go? That's going to be the question. That's where her issue is probably going to be, that they're not going to restore it or clean up.
They're not going to They will not put back trees that they remove.
I don't expect that. But it wasn't debris and things of that nature, she's going to say, they didn't clean the debris up. And maybe we'll take a look at it after the fact as a measure of goodwill. Maybe we can...
We'll check it, but I'm sure they'll clean up.
Yeah.
John, when y'all get through tomorrow, have put her on Rebecca's list.
Yes, sir.
To communicate with.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, John. Thank you for getting back with her. I think she'd really appreciate that. I do want to make one note about the cemetery cleanup, and I just want to honor some citizens who live around the cemetery. They're very concerned about their privacy. I know you have. Mm-hmm. And they're asking that the cleanup be done orderly and in a fashion that respects their residences and their homes. Homes have been built around the cemetery, and they're very concerned about cemetery trespassers who may cause mischief to their residences. And they're very sad about the media attention that this has gotten. They're concerned with Halloween coming up, that there's going to be attention drawn to their homes. And so they've requested that we, even though it's not a city project, you know, city has no say in this cleanup. They're not involved. We didn't initiate it. But they have asked that we respect their homes, respect their backyards. And if there's a problem, they know to call our Woodway Public Safety Department.
They sure do.
I believe that the Public Safety Department has been notified.
They have.
So,
also, I'd like to say it's not my project. I'm just helping.
Nobody said it was your project.
And,
but nobody said it was your project, and I wasn't quite done. Just asking if you're involved to please respect these neighbors, respect their homes, and don't let anything happen to their residences.
The main lady that you're talking about, we're planning not to be parking in front of her property.
I talked to a couple, not just one.
Well, there's one that told me she's really upset. Now, I've talked to a few others that's concerned, but they're, what I understand the project, the plan is to take over 2 years, do one day in the fall, one day in the spring. And the final one, spring, 2 years from now, they're wanting to do a fundraiser, so they'll put a fence up, post hours, different things to give a little more security. Right now, there's so little that's been done in 60 years that you can't hardly get back there.
It's private property.
It's actually not even owned by anyone right now. We looked up the owner.
It's got to be owned by somebody.
No, and no taxes have been paid forever. But it's basically owned by the cemetery. No taxes have been paid. Nothing's been done, anything. Last person was buried there was 1958.
But I don't think that gives us open access. I mean, it's a cemetery. You can go visit your loved ones.
Cemetery is illegal to block access, so anyone can go in and do cleaning.
Anybody can go into a cemetery and do cleaning?
Correct.
That's not quite right.
What part?
The due cleaning. You're right about blocking access, or if it's granting access, if it's an enclosed cemetery. This cemetery has public access through the easement. And in reasonable times, which is a kind of vague and nebulous standard.
Correct.
The public does have the rights of access to pay respects.
Correct.
That kind of thing. But as far as cleanup, you know, changing the shape of the property, that's not quite right.
Well, could you not consider the cleaning paying respect to the dead?
Correct.
Yeah, we splitting. I don't have the answer for you, but I want.
Like I said,
I want to get back.
I'm not in charge of any of it. I'm just a volunteer.
I'm glad that we have our legal representation here to tell us.
It's not a city project. So I'm not here.
It's not a city project.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm just going to be a volunteer to.
It is absolutely not a city project and not city endorsed. So, all right, any other questions or comments for our city manager? We're still on item 13.
Good. Hold on to your hat there, Mr. City Manager, because if it doesn't belong to anyone, guess who it belongs to?
the city?
If it was on the tax rolls.
Not on the tax rolls.
And it's not on the tax roll anymore. Is there any research that has been done? I think we may need to get out in front of it, to be quite honest with you, and see, because I will suspect that now that it is known that it doesn't belong to anyone, someone will probably bring that point up and say, well, why doesn't the city take over that property? Or why didn't the city take over that property if it wasn't being...
In executive session.
Needs to be what?
Posted.
Well, I'm not necessarily talking about acquiring property. I'm talking about just looking into...
Again, properly posted.
Okay.
Let's have that conversation.
We can ask to have it on an agenda item.
I wouldn't put it on there just yet.
That dog is sleeping. Let that dog sleep for a while. Well, don't kick
but,
it.
But he actually brings up a good point.
I'll just give Sean a heads up.
There's a whole lot on the internet that Baylor has taken responsibility for in relationship to the history of that whole area. We don't need to discuss that.
No. At this point in time, and by October 21st, it's not city property.
There you go.
And it's not a city project.
I apologize.
No, don't apologize. This is what we're... But thank you. Anything else for the city manager before we move on to our reports? Dave? You good?
I'm good.
All right. Moving on to item four. Everybody good here? Okay. Y'all look like you're okay, so I just want to be sure. Please speak up if you're not. Item 14, City Council reports. Any updates from City Council on their committee and liaison assignments?
I like that last one.
Okay. If there's no... Chief, I really enjoyed being with you on Saturday for your public service cookout. That was a great, great event. Thank you so much. Thank you for that. I'm happy to support. Item 15 is the closing item. Consider action on adjournment. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
It's been moved. Second. Moved and seconded. Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. We are adjourned at 8 o'clock on the nose.